Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, December 11, 2022, Romans.
All right, as we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The greatest miracle that this world will ever know is the miracle of that very first Christmas, the incarnation of the eternal Son of God. And as Randy was saying, Christmas today is, well, I look at all the, as soon as Thanksgiving is over, sometimes before it's over, people are already putting up all their Christmas things. Santa Claus, Frosty the Snowman, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Minions. I don't know where Minions came from, Christmas. They have overtaken. It's like we no longer, Santa doesn't have reindeer. He has Minions pull the sleigh. And none of that has anything to do with the greatest miracle the world has ever known. The greatest miracle this world will ever know is the incarnation of the eternal Son of God. How awesome is that? How amazing! God the Father designed Operation Grace, the cross, salvation, the plan of salvation. The Father designed it, but the Son, the eternal Son of God, said, yes, sir, Father, I'll do it. And that meant that the eternal Son of God had to leave heaven. He had to leave glory. He had to humble himself and take on true humanity. And when he came in that true humanity, he was rejected by his own people, treated as a common criminal. He was laughed at, mocked, ridiculed, spat upon, thorns crushed on his head. He was beaten and beaten and beaten and beaten to the point his closest friends could not even recognize him. And then he carried his cross to Golgotha, the place of the skull, and they crucified him. And while he was on that cross, crucified, God the Father gathered up the sins of the whole world and poured them out on him. And then the Father judged your sins and my sins and the sins of the world in Christ. He solved the world problem of sin. He took our place. He was our substitute. Yes, I love Christmas. But I love Christmas every single day. And my favorite thing at Christmas is the nativity scene. We had a fella in this church, name was Mike Williams. Mike was a great believer in Jesus Christ. You love this guy. This guy, when first time I shook hands with him, he grabbed it and squeezed it as hard. I go, now that's the way you should shake hands. None of this fish shake stuff. And we were at Indian Springs watching the boys play a basketball game, and he started asking questions about the Bible, and pretty soon he started coming here, and he was the neatest, so positive, and he worked with wood, and he created this nativity scene out of wood, made it all himself. Fantastic nativity. There's one of a kind, one of a kind. And after he cut it all out of wood and put it together and then painted it, we've had it for about 40 years. It always goes out in our... That's what we have. Not Santa Claus, not Frosty the Snowman, not a reindeer, no minions. We have the nativity scene. Well, we had it for so long, and the wind and that blew it down and started falling apart. And our neighborhood, everybody knows Debbie and me in the neighborhood, because they, every time they come by, we say Merry Christmas in July, August, anytime. We tell them Merry Christmas. Now, we have been doing that for so long. They come by and they say Merry Christmas to us. We've given the gospel to all of our neighbors. The little purple booklet. God's gift to the greatest gift that God gave to the world, Jesus Christ. They have those. Well, our nativity scene was coming apart. And one of those ladies at the end said, would you mind if I took your nativity scene and redid it all, put it back together and repaint it? I said, that'd be awesome. And she did. And it is good as new. And, Deb and I were a little slower. Well, let's say I'm a lot slower. Deb is doing great. I'm a lot slower. So we didn't get it out at Thanksgiving. We didn't get it out till about last week. And the husband of the gal who put it back together drove by and says, I was wondering if you were going to get that out there this year. I said, well, I'm slow and getting slower, but I said, again, I cannot thank you and your wife enough for redoing it all. And I said, that's what Christmas is all about. I said, I know we see all the other stuff around, but that is the issue of Christmas. The incarnation of the eternal Son of God. Why? Why do we have Christmas? Because we have a problem. And the problem is the world's sins. And God had to solve the world's sin problem. And he did through Operation Grace, the cross. It's the greatest miracle we will ever, ever know. Phase one, justification or salvation, is by means of faith in the salvation work of Christ on the cross. And therefore, we are justified by means of His blood. In the Scriptures, we have a figurative blood of Christ and a literal blood of Christ. The figurative blood of Christ refers to His spiritual death on the cross, which is tantamount to the saving work of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. The literal blood of Christ refers to His physical death on the cross because His salvation work was finished. Christ died twice on the cross so that we might be born twice. The first birth is physical birth, the imputation of human life to the soul, a physical birth, and the second birth is a spiritual birth. Regeneration, the imputation of eternal life to the human spirit at regeneration. We are born again spiritually. In regeneration, the Holy Spirit creates a human spirit for the imputation of eternal life. The spiritual death of Christ relates to salvation, while the physical death of Christ relates to resurrection. The spiritual death of Christ looks back to sin and forward to calling many sons into glory. Hebrews 2:10. The physical death of Christ looks back to His finished work on the cross and forward to His resurrection, ascension, and session. Now we have that under 7 points. Point eight, the figurative blood of Christ is associated with several very, very wonderful doctrines of His saving work on the cross. The figurative work of Christ is associated with several doctrines of His saving work on the cross. First of all, doctrine number one, redemption. Doctrine number one, redemption. This is the salvation work of Christ directed toward our sin, solving the world's sin problem. Redemption means someone paid a ransom for our freedom. So that word, someone paid a ransom for our freedom. You were freed from the slave market of sin through the ransom called the blood of Christ. Turn over to Ephesians 1, verse 7. Ephesians 1, 7. Ephesians 1, verse 7. In Him, in Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of His grace. You were freed from the slave market of sin through the ransom called the blood of Christ. Turn over to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. First Peter 1, verse 18, knowing that you were not ransomed. The word here is the word to ransom. Knowing that you were not ransomed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but you were ransomed by the precious blood as of a lamb unblemished, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who takes away the sin of the world, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, that is, the blood of Christ. So the doctrine number one, redemption. Doctrine number two, related to the figurative blood of Christ, reconciliation. Reconciliation. This is the salvation work of Christ on the cross directed toward man. Man is reconciled to God because Jesus Christ, in being judged for our sins, removed all the barriers between us and God. That's reconciliation. He removed all the barriers between us and God. Turn over to Ephesians 2:13. Ephesians 2:13. Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been reconciled through the blood of Christ. Turn over to Colossians 1. Colossians 1. Colossians 1, verse 20. And through him, Christ, to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace, reconciliation, through his blood shed on the cross. So, doctrine number one, that's related to the figurative blood of Christ, redemption. Doctrine number two, reconciliation. Doctrine number three, propitiation. Propitiation, this is the salvation work of Christ directed toward God the Father. God the Father is satisfied or propitiated with the salvation work of Christ on the cross. Romans 3, verses 24 to 26. And we studied this when we were in Romans chapter 3, but we're all the way up in Romans chapter 5. You probably forgot everything I taught in Romans chapter 3. So turn to Romans 3. Yeah, Randy and I were sitting up here, we're talking about, you know, when you start getting older, all kinds of things start happening. Like you leave the house and you go back three or four times of all the things you forgot. I get in the car and start to leave and I go, Debbie, I forgot to put my rings on. I feel naked without my rings on. So we go back. She says, you stay, I'll get the ring for you. And then we leave, and I go, Debbie, did I shut off the fireplace? I can't remember if I shut off the fireplace. Go back, I'll check the fireplace. So, you know, it's still working, it's just that you can't remember whether you just did this thing or that thing. Now, but one thing is, I'm just as good looking as I always was. Yeah, Randy thought he had a good laugh about that too. He said, I got pictures of you before and after and there's not much difference. Propitiation. This is the salvation work of Christ directed toward God the Father. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Let's start at verse 24. And we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as, and you might have, a sacrifice of atonement. Now, that doesn't, a sacrifice of atonement. What is that in the Greek? It's the Greek word helosterion. Helosterion means the mercy seat. The mercy seat was in the Ark of the Covenant, in the temple, in the tabernacle. The Ark of the Covenant was a box. It was a chest made out of acacia wood covered with gold, representing the hypostatic union of Jesus Christ. Had a mercy seat that was up on top of it that the high priest would sacrifice a lamb without spot or blemish, the impeccability of Christ, and bring that blood and sprinkle it on the mercy seat. Two cherubim with their wings spread over, representing the holiness of God, the righteousness and justice of God. And as they look down on that blood that's sprinkled on there, it satisfied the righteousness and justice of God, the doctrine of propitiation. That's what we have here. Helosterion is the Greek word for mercy seat, or the place of propitiation. God presented him as a helosterion, a mercy seat, a place of propitiation through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. So, doctrine number four, justification. Doctrine number four, justification. That's Romans 5:9. Certainly much more, with stronger reason, because we have now been justified, declared righteous by means of his blood, faith in the salvation work of Christ on the cross, we will be delivered by the agency of him, Christ, from the wrath of God, eternal condemnation and judgment in the lake of fire. Doctrine number five, sanctification. Sanctification, Hebrews 13, verse 12. Hebrews 13, verse 12. Let's turn over there. Hebrews 13, 12. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to sanctify the people through his own blood. This is sanctification, another doctrine. So five doctrines related to the figurative blood of Christ on the cross: redemption, reconciliation, propitiation, justification, sanctification. Point nine, the application of the blood of Christ. The application of the blood of Christ. First of all, the blood of Christ applies to eternal salvation. Eternal salvation. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. Revelation 1:5, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. So first of all, the blood of Christ applies to eternal salvation, Revelation 1:5. So the application is to believe, simply believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Every animal sacrifice of the Old Testament was fulfilled at the cross when Jesus Christ received the imputation of our sins and was judged for every one of them. Point two, under application of the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ has application in the problem-solving device of rebound. And thank God for the problem-solving device of rebound. I still laugh. In our prayer meeting, this was years ago now, there was a fellow, well, we had divided up into groups, and this fellow was in the prayer group that I was in, and it was like his first time in the prayer group, and it came around to him, and I've never heard this before, and he said, "Father, thank you for rebound." I started to chuckle inside, but I thought, what a great prayer. That one went right to the throne. Thank you for rebound. And that is probably in many ways the most important problem-solving device that God has given to us. It's how we get out of being out of fellowship with God and the cosmic system and get back into fellowship with God and the filling of the Spirit and the spiritual life so we can move out and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. 1 John 1, verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. That is, you, the believer, have fellowship with God. When you're living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, you're not only filled with the Spirit, you are in fellowship with God and living the spiritual life. And the blood of Jesus, has his Son, purifies us from all sin. And then verse 8, if we claim to be without a sin nature, well, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we acknowledge our sins, He, God, is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So the blood of Christ has application to the problem-solving device of rebound. Third, the blood of Christ has application in the Eucharist, the Lord's table. It has application in the Eucharist or the Lord's table. Turn over to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Starting at verse 26. Matthew 26, 26. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and He gave thanks, and He broke it, and He gave it to His disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is My body." And then He took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Matthew 26, 26 to 28. Now turn over to 1 Corinthians 11, which you are very familiar with. The first Sunday of each month, we keep this ritual that Jesus Christ commanded that we establish throughout the church age. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you." This is the Apostle Paul received from Jesus Christ. "The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' And then in the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me.'" So a couple of things amplifying this. One, the bread was used in place of the lamb, now representing the body or the humanity of Christ, being impeccable and sinless perfection. So the bread was used in place of the lamb, now representing the body or humanity of Christ being impeccable, sinless perfection. Two, the cup represented the saving work of Christ on the cross. As used in the Passover, it contained unfermented grape juice. Three, the cup represents the sins of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ, when He was at Gethsemane and anticipating the cross, He describes the imputation of the sins of the world to Him as drinking the cup. What is He drinking the cup of? He's drinking the cup of the sins of the world, the imputation of the sins of the whole world to Him and the judgment on those sins. The cup represents the sins of the world. For Jesus Christ drank the cup, as it were, on the cross. Jesus Christ drank the cup, as it were, on the cross. Five, He received these sins and their judgment as a substitute for us. He took our place. He took the judgment we deserved. And He was sinless perfection. He received these sins and their judgment as our substitute. He took our place. Six, this is called the blood, referring to the blood of Christ, That is the salvation work of Christ on the cross. This is called the blood, referring to the blood of Christ. That is the salvation work of Christ on the cross. So 7, the application of the Lord's table is fourfold. 1, to remember Christ. The application of the Lord's table is to 1, to remember Christ. 2, to focus your attention on Him. To focus your attention on Him. 3, to concentrate on His person and work on the cross. To concentrate on His person and work on the cross. And therefore, 4, therefore have intensified fellowship with Jesus Christ from the privacy of your own priesthood. So the application of the Lord's table is to remember Christ, to focus your attention on Him, to concentrate on His person and work on the cross, and therefore have intensified fellowship with Jesus Christ from the privacy of your own priesthood. All right. Merry Christmas. Father, we thank You, sir, for Your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.